fills up our plates. Papa's saying grace. Louisiana living sweet as sugar.
Welcome to the Story Table, brought to you by Providence Church in Lake Providence, Louisiana, where they want you to know that you are loved. Sierra Story, Chapter 10.
Not again. Sierra frowned at Charles Carpenter. I was hoping you had got your story and left town. Charles stopped inside the door of the greenhouse where Sierra was kneeling, repotting a sick rubber tree.
Her pulse quickened, and she hated herself for it.
She straightened up quickly and wiped her hands against her jeans. It had been almost a week and a half since he had been at her house for supper. Sierra had hoped that meant he had given in. "I'm not here to upset you, Sierra." "Well, you are," she responded sarcastically. "Let me guess, you need more ferns." Sierra knelt to pick up the large pot. Charles reached to help her. "No thanks," she said. "I can manage." She carried the pot to the shop, Charles following her without an invitation.
"To answer your question, no, I don't need more ferns."
Sierra glanced over her shoulder as she placed the heavy pot in the corner of the shop. "Ivy, then? Or perhaps a Christmas cactus," she said smartly.
Charles quickly closed the distance between them.
"Stop it."
His voice was low and pained.
"I'm not going to keep bothering you after today."
Sierra stared at him, waiting for the catch.
"If," she said, supplying him with the word, "if you let me tell you what happened back then."
Sierra walked around behind the counter, hoping it would serve as a buffer zone from his intoxicating presence. The tension between them was almost physical. Neither of them spoke while Sierra thought this over. She didn't see any other way. "I don't know how it will change anything, Chuck, but if it will put an end to this charade, go on." "Thank you. Sierra, I know what you think you saw at my apartment that day, but you never let me explain. There was nothing going on between me and Mrs. Thomas." Charles read the skepticism on Sierra's face. "Just hear me out." She motioned for him to continue. Charles took a deep breath, talking quickly before she could change her mind. "She was at my apartment that day when I got home from class. She had brought the drinks and was already lying beside the pool. I didn't want her there. You've got to believe me." Sierra couldn't stand it. "Do I look like a fool, Charles? What would make a married woman think she'd be welcome practically naked at your apartment?" "I won't lie, Sierra." Charles decided to ignore the expression that brought him. "Maybe I had been flirting with her a little."
"Maybe?"
"Okay, I had been. But think about it. She was my professor, and she was making a play for me like there was no tomorrow." Sierra glared at him furiously. "You poor thing." "I deserve that," Charles said, running his fingers through his hair. "But if you remember, there wasn't anything close to that happening between me and you, and I was a 21-year-old boy. I'm not saying I didn't like the attention, but I never touched her, Sierra, and I wasn't planning to. I was just afraid to make her mad before she graded my final." Charles watched Sierra closely. She wouldn't look at him, and when she spoke, he couldn't place the emotion in her voice. "You let go quickly."
"I let go?" Charles raised his voice for the first time. "I let go? What about you? You said you loved me, but you never looked back, did you? I tried. I found you. I wrote to you."
Charles' voice trailed off. Sierra's back was turned towards him. The fight in her seemed gone now. She looked small and vulnerable. Charles fought his desire to put his arms around her and crush her to his chest. Finally, at the risk of alienating her again, he put his hands gently on her shoulders. She stiffened. Charles dropped his hands voluntarily. "It doesn't change anything," she said flatly. "Not a thing." Sierra turned and met his eyes. "Okay, you've said your piece, and the funny thing is, I believe you, but it doesn't change the way things are." Charles put his hands on her face. "But you loved me, and I loved you. It's still there, Sierra. It isn't fair. We were meant to be together." Sierra pulled her face away, using more willpower than she ever knew she had.
Well, life isn't fair, Charles, or haven't you heard? Nothing you've said changes the facts. I'm still married to Sonny, and my life is still here with him, and Luke, and Lolly.
In a one-horse town running a plant nursery?
Charles knew he was treading on thin ice, but he couldn't stop himself.
You're wasting your life away.
Her eyes flashed furiously.
You arrogant jerk. So now, if I'm not with you, my life is a waste.
Sonny is a good man, Sierra, but your kids are the only things holding you and him together, and you know that, and they're about to leave home. What happens after that? How many times can you sweep this same floor? He threw the question at her like a gauntlet. How many ferns can you sell before you go crazy?
He'd gone over the line. Why not throw caution to the wind?
And your camera, where is it? Your gift for capturing time on film. You were going to be a photojournalist. Remember that? We were going to make a great team. Me telling the story in words and you in pictures. We were going to see the world.
Sierra was shaking with anger, but he wasn't through. He couldn't stop.
Tell me, Sierra, how much of the world have you seen?
And then he did stop. Finally. He took a deep breath and waited for her to slap him. Instead, Sierra walked to the door of the shop and opened it, ignoring the tears that flowed freely down her cheeks.
I think you should be going now, she said coolly.
I'm sorry. Charles's apology was sincere. His eyes pled with her to forgive him.
Please, I didn't mean...
Goodbye, Charles. If you'll excuse me, I have some sweeping to do.
Blue-green waves gathered themselves and charged towards the shore, crashing into the sand. The beach absorbed their blows time after time and pushed them deftly back to sea. The cup of coffee the older woman held in her right hand was half full and cold. She barely heard the desperate calls of the seagulls circling overhead. The warmth of the sun on her shoulders penetrated her skin and heated her bones. She had not been sleeping well lately. But even the shadowy circles under her eyes couldn't hide the fact she was still a beautiful woman, her face welcoming the years as stoically as the beach accepted the sea. Her blonde hair gracefully embraced the gray strands that highlighted her face. She adjusted her straw hat to shield her skin from the morning rays. She was seldom seen without it. Her thoughts raced in one continuous circle just as they had since that annoying call from Ruth. She would have been able to shake it off had the ghost of the past not latched onto it, shouting their ominous threats. She told herself the situations were completely different. The biggest similarity was their ages. Her daughter Sierra was 38, exactly the age she herself had been.
Now you're acting like Ruth, she scolded herself. Barry in trouble. You don't know anything has happened.
Elaine pulled a piece of paper out of her pocket and unfolded a letter she had gotten from Sierra back during the summer. Sierra didn't like the phone, but she loved to write letters. Elaine usually enjoyed reading them, and they were generally full of amusing anecdotes about her grandkids. But this one was different. Elaine must have reread it 100 times since that conversation with Ruth. She scanned down to the offending passage where Sierra had written,
I'm glad you finally decided to take up golf, Mom. I'm sure Daddy's thrilled. There isn't much going on here.
What else is new?
Don't think I'm crazy, but do you ever wonder if you'd do anything differently if you got to start your life over?
Lately, I've been thinking about that a lot.
No, I'm not leaving Sonny, Mom. Relax, we're fine.
It's just that with the twins starting their senior year, I guess I've gotten sentimental or something. I started thinking about how they're standing at the door to the rest of their lives, and it made me think how everything about my life has been decided, like all the choices have been made.
Oh, well, I bet you have no idea what I'm talking about.
Besides, I'm sure most of what I'm feeling is about Brandon. He would be starting junior high this year, and instead we're looking at the proverbial empty nest. Okay, I'm rambling, so I'm going to close. You tell Daddy I love him, too. I'll call you soon. Promise. All my love, Sierra. P.S. Give Mary and the kids a hug from me. I got their school pictures. Wow, I hope to see them soon. I would have had trouble picking those kids out of a lineup.
The letter lay open in Elaine's lap when Jim found her on the deck.
There you are, my love. You want me to top off your coffee before I go?
He reached for her cup, but Elaine shook her head.
Jim, she said, we need to talk. Her husband grinned. I'm all ears. Elaine barely smiled at their inside joke. Jim used to have a head of black hair, but it had thinned considerably. He liked to pretend it had given him a complex about his ears, saying they looked bigger than he remembered. This is serious, his wife said. It's about Sierra. Jim's eyes instantly clouded with concern. Is she all right? Are the kids all right? Elaine touched his hand reassuringly. Everyone's fine, she said. I didn't mean to scare you. Jim Gray pulled out a wrought iron chair and sat down across from his wife. Okay, then, if they're all fine, why does your beautiful face look so worried? More than anything, Elaine hated what this was going to mean for Jim. He didn't deserve this. He had never deserved it. She wished she could bear the pain this was going to mean for him. Jim, I dread this. I never wanted this day to come, but it's time. She watched her husband's face carefully. We need to talk to her. Jim Gray sighed resolutely. He turned around and scanned the horizon, taking another deep breath before answering. We should have years ago. I'll do whatever she wants. Jan was waiting in the lobby when Lolly finished basketball practice. I heard you had a great game last night, Miss Thang, she cracked, patting Lolly on the back. When's the next home game? Oh, sure, Lolly said, acting miffed. Like you care. And just where were you? Studying. School night. Big test. Mom's been testy since I got that stupid D in Spanish, too. Lolly took a swig from her water bottle. I guess I should have been a football player, she joked. You would have been there jumping up and down. Jan looked offended now. That's not fair. You know you can't be a football and a basketball cheerleader. Can I help it if I like football more? You know I'm joking, Lolly said. Don't be so sensitive. What's up with you? I figured you were gone. I have been. I came back to talk to you. Do you have time to go get a Coke? Lolly swung her backpack up to her shoulders. Sure, she said, but I'm supposed to call Mom at the shop and leave the Jeep for Luke. Can you take me home? Jan grinned broadly, making a sweeping gesture to the ancient white Volkswagen in the parking lot. The pale ghost lives, she said. You check in. I'll coax Her Highness up closer. Okay, what's up? Lolly asked, once the pale ghost pulled out of the parking lot. You've got your I've got a secret look. Guess, Lolly, it's good. Lolly pulled down the mirror on the visor and redid her ponytail. Susan got kicked out of school, she deadpanned. Jan laughed. Better. Better? What could be better? It has to do with somebody's brother. Lolly clapped her hands in mock delight. Luke got kicked out of school with her? Jan punched her playfully. Would you be serious? This is big. Okay, okay. Lolly tried to get serious. If it's big, then don't play 20 questions. I know it's not as much fun to you, but just tell me. Jan looked ready to explode. Your brother, she paused to build the suspense. He asked me out. Luke, you? Lolly was incredulous. Well, thanks a lot, buddy, Jan said sarcastically. You don't have to say it like that. Lolly rolled her eyes at her friend. You know I didn't mean anything by that. I'm just surprised. That's all. I mean, you and Luke, who would have figured? Jan flashed a happy smile. Not me. I thought I was hearing things. Lolly was happy for her friend and a little protective at the same time. Luke better not have any secret motives or he was going to pay dearly. Tell me exactly what happened, she demanded. I'd be delighted, Jan consented. She went on to tell Lolly about the little thing in the gym and how she thought she was the only one who felt it because she had felt that way about him forever. But ever since that day, it had seemed like Luke was acting differently towards her. And then today, Jan announced, smiling broadly, he caught me after school and asked me to go on a double date with him. And her voice trailed off with that. She could kick herself in the butt. She wasn't supposed to go that far. And who? Lolly asked. Jeff, Jan said it miserably, knowing Lolly would drag it out of her eventually. She had promised to. Oh, Lolly said simply, but her mood turned sour quickly.
Wonder who... It doesn't matter. Never mind. I hope y'all have a good time, Jan. I know you've had a thing for Luke for a while. Jan didn't know what else to say. They didn't bring it up again. Lolly played the jukebox the whole time they were at the Burger Barn, and then she sang to the radio when they got back in the Pale Ghost. She looked perfectly happy. Less than half an hour later, the girls pulled up Lolly's driveway, both of them seeing Jeff's truck at the same time. Jan watched Lolly's face while she put the car in park. Hey, she said, I'm not going to cut her off. She patted the dash gently. Who knows if the old girl would start again. I'll call you later. Lolly got out and reached in the back seat for her book bag. Lolly, Jan called as she started to shut the door. Just hear him out, okay? Lolly ignored the advice. Later. Thanks for the ride. Jan watched Luke walk up to Lolly and offer to take the bag. Lolly obviously said no. Jan turned the Pale Ghost around. She loved that girl, but she was one stubborn cookie. I'm not allowed to have company when my folks aren't home, Lolly told Jeff. I remember. Can we talk here by the truck? You're talking now, Lolly answered, offering no encouragement. So we are. Jeff shifted his weight nervously. I guess you heard about Luke and Jan? Yes, I did. What do you know about it? The question sounded like an accusation. Jeff grinned. It was my idea. Yours? Yeah, mine. He admitted it proudly. It had been so long since they had talked, Jeff began to relax and enjoy himself. He picked up a couple of pecans from the nearby grass and cracked them together. And why is that? Lolly continued to probe. She sounded like a police interrogator, and she was obviously more comfortable in the bad cop role. Jeff held out the meat of one of the pecans to Lolly. She shook her head. So he popped the sweet morsel in his own mouth, chewing it up and swallowing while he worked on his explanation. Two reasons, Lol. One, he likes her, and he wouldn't admit it. And I thought it might help, Jeff said adamantly. For the first time, Lolly sounded less like a cop and more like a curious friend when she asked, Help who, Jeff? Us. The word hung between them. He waited for her to remind him again that there had not been an us for weeks, but she surprised him. And how could it help us? She looked puzzled, but not angry. Jeff tried not to get too excited. I miss you, and I know you miss me. Lolly opened her mouth to speak, but Jeff cut her off. Let me finish. I know why we aren't dating. I haven't forgotten, and I'm not trying to act like it wasn't a problem. Jeff took a step towards Lolly. She didn't retreat. Encouraged, he continued. But it doesn't have to be all or nothing, Lol. I'm not following you. Jeff reached for the heavy book bag that was still hanging from her shoulder, and she let him take it. Well, isn't it you that always said where there's a will, there's a way? And don't we really just want to be together the way it used to be? Why not double date? He held his breath while he watched her reaction. Go on. Lolly was almost smiling. Double date. Jeff sat the book bag on the hood of his truck and reached for her hand. She let him close it between both of his. We could see each other, Law, be with each other, without all the pressure. I think it would work. Jeff played with the smooth nails at the ends of her long fingers. Say we can give it a chance. It could be just like it used to be, but better. We could watch TV and study at each other's houses and double date on the weekend. Lolly, in less than a year, we'll be going to different colleges. We know we'll have to see other people and not try to date exclusively. But why waste our senior year together? It just doesn't make sense. Lolly was enjoying the feel of her hand in Jeff's so much that she could hardly formulate a sensible question. What if your little scheme with Luke and Jan doesn't work out? She asked him. What then? Then we find another couple. Don't look for ways it won't work. Please just say yes, Lolly. Jeff's eyes pleaded. You can do it. Just say yes. Lolly shocked him by reaching up to plant a kiss full on his lips. He almost fainted. Yes, she said, as she reclaimed her book bag. Yes! She waved at him and walked inside, her heart singing wildly. She stopped with her hand on the carport door and called out again. Yes! Then she went inside and leaned against the door. She looked towards the ceiling. "Thanks," she said. Sierra replaced the cardboard top and sighed. "It's here somewhere." She pushed aside the heavy box she had just finished rummaging through. She stood up and put her hands on her hips, scanning the dimly lit attic. A little more light up here wouldn't hurt, she thought. There were only a couple of cartons left, and only one of them looked familiar. She sat on the unfamiliar one and pulled the other candidate up to her knees. A little tinge of excitement ran through her when she saw the photographs piled inside. She sifted through them slowly, pausing and picking up a large 8x10. Several more prints were stuck to the back of it. "I can't believe you would leave pictures in an attic," she chided herself. "You knew better." Charles must have just finished speaking at a rally. You couldn't see the podium, but you could make out a sign in the background that said, "Students Against Favoritism for Athletes." A button pinned on his sweater read, "If I have to study, you should too." Such a volatile issue in most people's hands would have been a recipe for disaster, but not Charles. He had recognized the potential for trouble and mixed in the right amount of humor when complaining about the alleged injustices. Even the jocks had laughed at one of his slogans, "Non-athletes are students too." Sierra was surprised at how young he looked and how earnest. He was listening intently to another student. He looked interested and concerned. Slowly, Sierra pried the picture away from the others it clung to. She sorted through more rally shots, as well as action prints of ball games and candid pics of smiling people she barely remembered. It was a lifetime ago. She stopped at a fuzzy picture of a young girl. All you could see at her back was blue sky and the tops of trees that reached into the bottom of the frame. Although the picture was blurred and out of focus, it was clear the girl was hamming it up for the camera. Sierra remembered the day Charles stole her camera and turned it on its owner. They were on the roof of the Student Union building, one of their favorite places to be alone. "I was thinking," he had said, "when we're old and gray, we aren't going to have a single picture of you because you're always behind the camera." He had used a whole roll of film on her that day, an extravagant waste to her thinking. He promised to buy her more. She had smiled and frowned and stuck out her tongue while he fussed and laughed and begged for cooperation. She had crossed her eyes and stuck her fingers in her ears. He had looked at her seriously and told her she was still beautiful. Sierra felt around in the bottom of the box until her fingers found the hard case she was looking for. A rush of feeling swept over her as she pulled the camera out and turned it over in her hands. Back then, it had been the latest piece of equipment. Now it was probably a dinosaur. Other than the little Instamatic she had used to take snapshots of the kids, she hadn't used a real camera in so long she wasn't sure what one looked like, let alone what it would cost. The thought came out of nowhere. She hadn't even thought about wanting one. Sierra remembered what it used to feel like standing in a dark room, watching images she had tried to capture materialize on paper. She could remember her excitement as she held her breath, waiting for the pictures to emerge. Sierra's dad had given her a camera for her 15th birthday. He had picked out the top of the line. "For my little girl," he said, "so you can take pictures of everything you love." Sierra had taken rolls and rolls of film by the time she left for college. She loved taking nature pictures. She snapped the wheat fields and the rice fields, the cotton and the beans. Most of all, she took endless shots of the lake, trying to capture its many moods. But that was a lifetime ago. She had never taken the camera out of the box after transferring to state, closing the lid on it when she closed the door on Charles. Sierra thought about the accusations he had flung at her at the shop. A photojournalist traveling the world. Had that really been her dream? Charles had raved about her talent. He thought her nature pictures were nice, but he couldn't say enough when she took pictures at the rallies. It was the way she caught the moment, he would say. He pronounced the impressions vivid and strong, good enough for the news magazines. His compliments had made her want to take more. Sierra rubbed her hands over the camera, wondering if it would still work after all these years. It had been in this hot, dusty attic for a long time. "Reckon it works." Sonny's low voice startled Sierra, and the camera slipped out of her hands, thudding harmlessly onto the cushion of photographs.
I didn't know you were home, Sierra said, inching between him and the box of photos. I was just looking at your old camera. Sonny crossed the attic floor and picked the camera back up. You know, your dad asked me not too long ago if you still had this. I meant to ask you about it. Sonny looked down again and paused. He knelt and picked up the picture of Charles. He looked at it and put it back down without comment. He said you used to love to take pictures. Why'd you quit? Sierra thought for a moment before answering him as truthfully as she knew how. I don't know. Sonny's blue eyes searched her face. How about I buy you a new camera for Christmas? A really good one, with all the latest whistles and bells. He took his hand and tenderly wiped a smudge of dust off her cheek. Sierra was touched by his suggestion. I'd hate for you to spend a lot of money, she said. What if I'm not any good anymore? It's been a long time. Sonny looked towards the box of photographs, then back at his wife. If you enjoy it, the money will be well spent. And then he grinned at her, whether you're a great photographer or not. Sierra smiled. In that case, a new camera sounds nice. On the way down the stairs to the kitchen, Sierra told Sonny that Lolly and Jeff were back together. Oh, really? He said. How'd that happen? I don't know, but she's been on top of the world all evening. All she says is they got things worked out. Sierra looked over her shoulder and smiled. And that's not all. They're double dating Saturday night with Luke and Jan Hansen. She looked back again to see his reaction. He smiled and shook his head. Oh, I can't keep up, he complained, making a questioning motion with his hands. Luke and Jan? When did that happen? You tell me. He's touchy about it, too. Says it's only one date, Mom. She's had a crush on him forever. But he always ran the other way. My guess is that Jan finally outran him. They enjoyed a good laugh together. It had been a long time coming. When's supper? Sonny asked. Soon, Sierra said as they made it back to the kitchen. She lifted a few lids on the stove and assessed their status, mashing a field pea against the side of the boiler. At least another 10 to 15 minutes. I'm running kind of late. It was crazy busy at the shop today. I sold tons of mums. Sonny walked over to the bar and picked up the mail. Yeah, he said casually. I came by a couple times this morning, and the parking lot was full. He started towards the office. Speaking of the shop, that reminds me. I saw Charles there the other day on my way to town. I haven't seen him since he came to supper. I was going to stop by on my way back to the farm, but he was gone. I wish you would have, Sierra said, as she poured them both a cup of coffee. He was trying to clear up some details on that article. I don't know how much help I was. You're getting really good at this, she thought to herself. You should be proud. You're a natural liar. And why? Why not just tell him? It's not like you've done anything wrong. Sierra ignored the little voice in her head that added, yet. She wasn't going to do anything, she promised herself. Oh, was all Sonny said. He took the cup his wife offered and headed to the office with the mail.